I want to finish up this series today. We've been in a series of guardrails about the Ten Commandments. And I know that's been kind of like an archaic Old Testament Ten Commandment thing, but God has put it in my heart that we need to be more knowledgeable when it comes to the Word of God. And so we're making sure we're teaching the Word in all of our ministries here. Your kids right now in River Kids are going through the Old Testament, and they're learning the different things that God is doing. And we had an illustration last week. We had Elijah escape from Ahab and run up here. And no, it was awesome. But they learned the things of the Word of God up there. And amen. Pray for our River Kids team and everybody. Thank you for serving. If you want a ministry to jump in, praying about that, the Lord is saying, join River Kids. Amen. It's a lot of people that serve there to help it, and Lindsay and Felicia are our directors, and they do a great job. I want to tie you to today's, as we're going through the Ten Commandments, we're going to finish up today with the last three. I want to tie it into water baptism, because I don't want to move past this moment of people getting baptized, and several of you have gotten water baptized, and it's just an amazing thing. I don't know about you, but when I watch that, and I'm a part of it, it reminds me when I got baptized. Amen. Like all over again. Amen. And it's such an awesome thing to do. Baptisms are very special. They're in the Word of God. We have t-shirts made that says, I have decided. Like, what is that all about? That's taken a public declaration that I have decided to follow Christ. And one of my favorite scriptures, again, the difference between religion and a church in church is really this. You got religion, and then you got a relationship with God, right? And I'm not a religious person, you know, even though I'm chaplain, I'm reverend, I'm pastor, I'm all these religious titles. But honestly, I just called out to God 27 years ago. He set me free from drugs and alcohol, and I've been living in victory by God's grace. And I get to lead the church and lead other people into that same experience as you see today. I mean, that's really what it is. It is down to it. And one of the most important scripture verses that really captures what it means to be in Christ and really captures what the Ten Commandments were initially supposed to be about is one of the scriptures in 2 Corinthians 5:17. If you haven't memorized the scripture, memorize the scripture. I love memorizing scripture, and this is one of the first ones I ever memorized. It says, if any man or anyone be in Christ, he is a new creation. If anyone is in Christ, who's he talking about? How many's in anyone? How many are in Christ? That means your faith is in Christ. Now, that is a difference, because you can believe about Jesus, and then it's different from knowing Jesus, right? I always use this illustration about being in Christ is much like the Titanic. Remember that. And many people walked on that ship when it was sailing, and they would walk the docks and on the docks or on the ship deck, and they saw the lifeboats, and they would sit there and look at them all covered up, and yeah, I don't think we'll ever need that, but they were very familiar with where the lifeboats were, what material they were made out of. You know, they would probably walk up to them while they're, you know, drinking their cocktail, walking on the decks, you know, and seeing the tarp over these lifeboats, and was just examining them. That's knowing about the lifeboats. But what made the difference if you survived or not is when that thing hit the iceberg. And what made the difference is whether or not you were in one of those life preservers and inside one of those little lifeboats. Same way with Christ. The scripture says, if anyone knows about Jesus, if any man or woman be in Christ, be in him. How many's all in? Come on, Detroit. Are y'all all in? That's what I'm talking about, all in. The scripture teaches that. Be all, whoever is all in Christ. I love what our brother Zach said when he got baptized. I know Zach. I know the family. Been praying with him and Molly, and watching him struggle for so long, trying to walk with the Lord. And like many of us, you walk for a while, then you stumble and you fall. No one's perfect, even after you're in Christ. How many know there's a process? How many's in that process? You look all holy to me this Sunday morning. How many's in the process? Okay, thank you, Jesus. But I love what he said. He said the struggle is not completely over, but the breakthrough happened when he got in the lifeboat. How did he say? When he totally surrendered. Man, let me tell you something. Today's the day if you haven't totally surrendered. And if you are totally surrendered and you are all in, I want to just remind you about these Ten Commandments. And this is why Jesus came. So God gave Israel the Ten Commandments when they came out of Egypt and they crossed through the Red Sea. God split the Red Sea. Our kids are learning that. You should know about that story, which actually represents water baptism. They came across the water, came out of Egypt into the Promised Land. And the Bible says when the last Israelite crossed over on dry land, that Pharaoh, which represents the enemy and the devil, they were the slave taskmasters. They wanted to recapture Israel. How many know when you make a profession of faith, I mean, I hate to tell you, but there's a little bullseye that does go on your back. The enemy ain't happy that he lost another one, right? We sing that song, Hell Lost Another One. Yeah, remember that song? That's true. And so Pharaoh tried to get the Israelites back into bondage, get them back into idolatry, you know. And that's these little voices when you leave Sunday, when you start hearing, well, that really didn't change. I'm still the same. That voice that tells you that you can't be free, that you can't be different. You've tried this before. That's Pharaoh talking. But the Bible says when the last Israelite crossed over on dry land, Pharaoh's army came after them. But God is so amazing. He said that he let the waters rescend and it destroyed those that tried to keep him in bondage. A little historical fact, in the last 12 years, historians and archaeologists have discovered chariot wheels on the bottom of the Red Sea. Have you read that yet? Go look it up. And the spokes on the wheels are exactly aligned with the 18th dynasty, which was the Bible's description of Pharaoh and the Exodus. Why? Because the Bible is true. God is real. Jesus is alive and he's coming again. Come on, somebody. That's all true. That's all true. You either believe that, you either make fun of it, you either process it, you either debate it, but I pray you get all in Jesus' name. You receive it, and you say, I'm going to believe it, and I'm going to stand on it. Amen. And you build our life on that. So when God brought him out of Egypt, he said, okay, guys, I want to encounter you. I want me and you to encounter you, each other, before you go into the Promised Land, because you're going to go through some tough circumstances. And I need you to know that a circumstance or a storm or a trial, listen, is not an off-ramp to your faith. Don't let a tragedy, an unexpected death even, something as serious as that, or a prayer not getting answered, don't let that become an off-ramp to your faith. It's a different message for a different time, but somebody needs to hear that today. And God said, you're going to be tempted to want to go back to Egypt when you get into a difficult time. Candidates that got baptized, we celebrate with you today. But listen, there's a world out there that's wanting to divide us. There's an enemy out there that Jesus taught. There's an enemy of your soul that he come to steal, kill, and destroy. He don't like that you're in church worshiping Jesus. He don't like that you've made time to get up and take your family and bring them to the house of God. He doesn't like it because he knows if you really get a hold of this thing and you get all in that ship that I'm telling you about, that life preserver, then it's game over because you become a threat to his kingdom and he's lost you. Jesus taught that. So God said, I want to give you these Ten Commandments as guardrails to keep you from going back. If you put these 10 rules in your life and live by them, you won't go back to Egypt. Okay? Let's go into the New Testament because Jesus taught these guardrails. And he said, not only do they protect us and guard us from going back, they direct us, watch this, to become different people, to become people like Christ. If any man be in Christ and live by these guardrails, you won't go back to Egypt, but you will be changed into the image of Christ because we go from glory to glory. You get all that. That's what he said. So the Ten Commandments is not meant to be just displayed, and I pray they do. And there's the Supreme Court in our country is actually talking about allowing the Ten Commandments being displayed in our public schools again. I say praise God, amen. But as great as an example, and I'm excited about that, let me just be real with you. It ain't going to make a difference if they're just hanging on a wall. They've got to get in here. Tell your neighbor they got to get in there. Ask your other neighbor, the one that's been frowning at you all morning, say, are you all in? Come on. Come on. Are you all in? So that's why Jesus came with these Ten Commandments. And if you live by these 10 guardrails, because we're going to finish up and move on and go into the holiday season, because the greatest holiday is coming, Thanksgiving, amen. Next week's our Thanksgiving service. I got an awesome message planned. We're going to have babies dedicated. It's going to be an amazing time. But I want you to get this guardrail as I bring it to a close. And God and Jesus says, I don't want you just to have these as rules, but I want them to be in your heart. So watch this. Go through them. He said, number one is the first commandment. God said to make God number one in your life, not to hang it on a wall, but to have him in your heart. What does that mean? Thou shalt not have no other gods before me. That means God needs to be number one on your on the throne of your heart. Not money, not pleasure, not relationships. Those are all great. They're actually gifts from God, but they're not made or meant to dictate our decisions. God needs to be number one in our life. I preached on that. Number two, remember the thumb. Don't bow down to any graven image. Don't make an image of me. Let me say it like this. Don't make your own form of God. Don't make your own version of God. Well, my God tells me I don't even have to go to church, or I don't have to worship, I don't have to. What God are you reading from, brother? It's so easy. Spurgeon said that the heart of man is an idol factory. How many would say amen? Amen. How many clothes that factory and put Jesus on the throne? So number one is God. Number two, don't make any form of gods. Number three, keep his name holy. As Pastor Steve said, keep his name out your mouth. In other words, you know, that middle finger is used to as a gesture that's not very inviting. Amen. So I'm trying to help you to remember when it comes to the Ten Commandments, God says, you know, don't be blaspheming my holy name. My name, you're going to need that name. You need to understand that name, the meaning of that name. So that's number three. Number four is the only commandment that's all about you. Remember the Sabbath day to take care of yourself, because when you get into the promised land, you're going to be running and gunning, raising them kids, chasing them grandkids around, going on vacation, going to work, going this, and you're going to forget the God that brought you out of Egypt. You're going to forget the moment you sat in this baptism tank and gave God all the glory, because you're so busy. We're not making time for God to abide in him so we can produce the fruit of God in our life. We're busy sometimes even working for God. He says, remember the Sabbath day and keep it holy. I preached it like this. Remember to live your life according to the pace of grace. Yes. Yes. Number five is a commandment that God said we need to honor our moms and dads. Honor them, because if not, you're going to get disciplined. Hallelujah. Amen. I told you that's what number five represents. And if you don't, mom and dad's going to help you come to church, where the Catholics called Mass, where you'll learn M-A-S, don't murder, commit adultery, or steal. I'm trying to help you to remember the Ten Commandments. All right, people still ask me, what time is your Mass? And I tell them, 10:30. They'll figure it out, amen. Right. This ain't a church. This is that other church he was talking about. Yeah, I feel something, Myrtle, amen. What is that? Let me tell you, it's not energy. I know we like to explain it like that. It's the Holy Ghost. Ooh, say it again, it's the Holy Ghost. I'm just being fun. It's the presence of the Lord. It's living, man. It's powerful. You get a taste of that. The Bible says, taste and see that the Lord is good. He ain't talking about that religious stuff where you're lighting candles and humming. He's talking about taste and see the presence of the Lord. Because once you get it, there ain't no high like the Most High. Come on, somebody. You won't go back. Amen. So he says, so Jesus, again, in the New Testament said, it's not about rules. It's about becoming people that he's teaching us, which number six would be a murderer. Okay, we think it's picking up a weapon and killing someone, but like Kavar taught us, you can kill them softly. And Jesus taught it in Matthew 5, one of his most famous sermons, the Sermon on the Mount. Mount, not softball mound. Mount, amen. Some of you are like, I thought it was that the whole time, amen. He preached from a mountain. So he talked about the attitudes in our heart. You can actually kill somebody and be in danger of hellfire if you allow that hate. And as a Christian, I reminded you that we're not allowed to hate anybody if we've got the spirit of love in us. The election is over. So it's almost like that cartoon I grew up watching, Looney Tunes. It was the coyote and the sheepdog. They'd meet at the time clock every morning. Morning, Ralph. Morning, Tom, and they would punch their clock, and they'd go back out, and then the coyote was back to killing, trying to eat sheep, and the sheepdog was beating up the coyote. Remember that cartoon? Okay, and then after the cartoon, they meet back at the clock, and how was your day, Ralph? Fine, and that's how political season's over. Let's all go back to being friends. Can we do that? That's my whole point in that. Regardless of whatever's happened, there's so many things trying to divide. We can't be having hate in our lives. Murder is like hate. And then last week is number 7. Don't commit adultery. Whoa. And we, in New Testament, it wasn't about don't do the act of adultery. Jesus says, I brought you out of Egypt, put my spirit in you, and it's not about walking around keeping a rule and making sure you're faithful to your wife. Jesus said, I want you to win the battle over lust because it starts in the heart. Remember that last week? I know this series has been a little heavy. It's the law, guys. The law is heavy. But the law is meant to chase us, guardrails direct us. These laws are meant to lead us and guide us, not to self-righteousness, but to Christ, because only by surrendering to him are we able to fulfill all 10 laws. So that's what 7 was about. Now we got 8, 9, and 10, and I'm going to wrap them up. I'm going to make one sentence, one point for each one of these 3 commandments, and we're going to use it like that. So you have 8, 9, 10, thou shalt not steal. What is stealing? Stealing simply means taking something that's not yours. Whether you're Ed Sheeran and you're accused of stealing lyrics and songs and you're whatever. I mean, this is something, a rule that people are accused of and have to be aware of. You know, you got people in the NFL reading plays. You ever see Dan Campbell go like this? And, you know, you might have seen him in the Applebee's commercial. You know why he does that? Because there's other people paid to read his lips to steal the plays to win the games. Okay, everybody, if you're not into football, you can wake back up. That's over, okay. But my point is this, stealing is everywhere. We even get to the place where we feel entitled, right? And we try to, and we want to steal. But stealing is simply is taking what we don't own. That's not ours. And so God is bringing these guys out of Egypt where they've been slaves for 400 years. I mean, you're talking generations that's been living like a free-for-all. They're in survival mode. And God says, I'm bringing you to a land where I want to have a beautiful land for you. So these commandments, these last 3, really are the foundation to any healthy community. Bring it into your world, your family. These are things that you need to teach our kids, right? We don't be stealing from mom and dad, or from anybody, or from the store. In my case, I'm not gonna tell a lot of stories, I don't have time, but I stole something when I was in first grade. Pastor Eddie started early. A friend of mine talked me into stealing a magazine that had Kiss on the cover. Rock and roll band, with the makeup. Gene Simmons' big tongue. I was scared of it. That was demon music growing up in church. But he wanted that magazine. He said, all you got to do is keep it down and walk right past the counter. It was at Lovelands in E-Course on Jefferson. And I went to school too, which was right behind the school. Mama would walk us up to the crossing guard. Miss Scott would cross us, and that was our routine, and go to elementary school there. And everybody was going in and out of Lovelands. Well, I guess I am telling the story. And everybody's coming in and out. And I did. I walked underneath the counter. I was scared to death. I walked outside, and I just was so guilty. I looked over, and Miss Scott, the crossing guard, just looked at us. I thought she saw me steal it. Everyone knew it. I'm going to get caught. So I panicked, and I threw the magazine underneath a parked car. She went into the store and said, why did he buy that? And she said, what? And then they found out. I remember hanging up my jacket at school, too, in first grade, Miss Rivers' class. And I heard over the loudspeaker from Miss Watson, our principal, James Markham and my other friend, come to the principal. That's me. Okay, James, by the way. Went down there and got busted. I remember that was the first lesson. And when I got in trouble at school, I got in trouble at home. So that was a double lose-lose there. But I learned, and Mama said this, and said, listen, you know why that was wrong? Because I said I didn't even want it. I didn't even want that magazine. Tyrone, he wanted it. I didn't even want it. She said, but it don't matter. You're the one that did it. And it don't matter why we want to steal, why we want to take what's not ours. The act alone says it's wrong. That's Old Testament. But Jesus said, I want to go a little bit further, that I help put a guardrail there that will help you not only to not steal, because everybody knows you shouldn't steal, whether you are a Christian, or you could be an atheist, not even a follower of God, and you still admit that stealing is wrong. However, you won't admit, if you're an atheist, where you get that moral compass, but I'll let you in a little secret. The Bible says God put it there in your conscience. Don't tell them. So Jesus comes along and he says, I don't want you just to walk around not stealing and tape your hands to the side of you. Jesus said, I want to get you to the place where you become the opposite. Remember, we're talking about becoming a new person. You're in Christ. So I want to get you to the place where you're the opposite of a thief. What's the opposite of a thief? A giver. A giver. Ooh, that's good. Here's the scripture. Paul, the apostle, was writing to a New Testament church who was also living like a free-for-all. If you wanted it, you can take it. I grew up in E-course. If it wasn't chained down, it was gone. And if someone else didn't steal it, I might have took it. Amen, growing up back in the day. I mean, it's just the way, that was the culture. And so that's how it was here. So Paul comes along and he says, let him who stole steal no longer, but rather let him labor, working with his hands what is good. That means a good job. It don't mean, oh, I need to quit stealing and go sell drugs. At least it's a job. No. Work what is good. Everybody say, good job. Good job. But he says that. He says, first, you got to get a job. And I always tell men this, especially single men, listen, you're praying for a woman, get a job first. God gave Adam a job before he gave him a woman. Come on, somebody. Amen. So you got to get a job. Here's the scripture. Work with your hands. Produce some. Do something. You got to do something. Then watch this. Why? So that you may have something to give him who is in need. Don't steal. Become generous. Become. You got to retrain. We got to retrain our minds and hearts to give. Every time you give, you are retraining yourself to give, because our nature is to hoard. I was like that as a kid. I remember asking, my mom tried to get that out of me. So this is what my mom used to do. So I would say, Mom, I'm hungry. You know, a little kid, she'd make me a lunch. And they're watching, by the way, on live stream. We're praying for my dad. He had a rough night, but he said this morning he's doing much better, but they're just going to rest at home. So we're praying for you, Dad. And a lot of people pray for my mom and dad. He's doing good, but he just needs to rest. And so Mom's watching, I'm sure, and I'd say, Mom, I'm hungry. So she'd make me a big old fat sandwich, sometimes that fried Spam with some mustard on there. And we had that welfare cheese. That's all I'm going to say. I mean, it was in a block, boy. Hey. Not the stuff you get today. I'm talking about the 80s welfare cheese. You had to have a for real. You better bring that saw from the garage. Plug it in. That baby. Grilled meal. Oh, melt cheese, grilled cheese sandwiches. Come on. Get you praying in the Holy Ghost every time. All right, get off of food. Got to finish this, Eddie. Come on. But my mom would make me a sandwich. Mom, you know it. She'd make me a big old sandwich. And she had I'd go to sit down. Your lunch is done. Come on, baby. Your food's ready. Mama babied us boys. And so we got in there, and I'd look, and every time it would be sitting there on a table, but she would always take a big bite right out of the center. Mama always took a big bite out of my sandwich. Then she'd stink. And I would say, Mom, you took a little bite out of your sandwich. She said, Eddie, I made the sandwich. It's my sandwich. You need to quit being so greedy. So when Melinda and I got married, I made a sandwich for her, and I took a big bite out of it. No, I'm just kidding. That was Mom trying to get me to be more generous. I want you to write this down. Generosity is the nature of God. What's God like? Start with generosity. Everything God made gives. The sun gives heat, gives light. The moon gives. Controls the tides of our seas. We learned about photosynthesis, even the plants. Everything God made gives, including him. I did a whole Christmas series one year called The Giver, because we know Jesus as the baby, but Isaiah says, unto us a child is born, but listen to the rest of it, and a son is given. God so loved the world that he gave. You can give to somebody and really not even like them, really not even love them, but it's impossible to love somebody and not give. So that tells me we got to go from believing in Jesus to loving Jesus. Come on, Wednesday night. That's what we're teaching on Wednesday nights. Everybody believes in Jesus. The Bible says even the devil believes. That's that devil level faith. Okay, that's that devil level faith. Even the devil believes. We got to come up. Everybody say, come up. We got to get all in because we want to be in Christ. Not just believe that there's a Christ, but be all in Christ. Jesus, I surrender to you. You are the Lord of my life. And then you begin to see generosity come. I love what Zach says. He just wants to help people. And he does. He comes to our Monday night Celebrate Recovery, wanting to help other people and stuff like that. Man, when God gets a hold of your life, it just generosity should pour out of us. Tithing was meant to keep selfishness out of our heart. It was a principle to retrain us. Tell your neighbor, be generous. So acting like God, being generous, is the guardrail for stealing. It's a guardrail. Not just not stealing. Everybody has that. But becoming generous. Move over to the ninth commandment, thou shalt not lie. So if generosity is the nature of God, I want you to write this down. Lying is the language of the devil. Okay. Hello. Kids call it capping. Cap. Oh, man, I wouldn't play basketball, man. I scored 30 points. You cap. Cap. Now, well, I'm from Ecorse in the 80s. Cap meant totally something different. You got capped, you weren't going to survive the next day. The other capping was I was capping on, you know, making fun of each other. You know, we cap. You cap. Y'all got me. So I don't know what these kids today. But it's like a thing, right? It's like lying. It's like, yeah, everybody lies. Everybody lies. Some of y'all lied this morning. When somebody said, how you doing? We just have that in our culture that, you know, because lies come in color and stages. This is a little white lie. And God's like, man, lies don't come in colors, bro. Now listen, lying is addicting. That's why God said, don't even start that, because I'm going to confess when I get to the end, okay? So I'm telling you, I broke every one of these. I lied, and we start off lying because you want to fit in. Lie, and I wanted to fit in my whole life, you know, wearing these Adidas shoes. I wear all the time. I didn't wear them today, but I like wearing Adidas because growing up, shoes was everything when I grew up in the 80s in Ecorse, man. You got to have these Adidas, you know, and all of that. And we used to buy tracks. We couldn't afford them. So, you know, Mama would buy us tracks from Kmart. But we would hook them up, make them look like track. We'd make them look like Adidas. We had these guys rush me and my boy Kevin. And they came after us to steal our shoes. I was in ninth grade, and they took his shoes off of him. And they couldn't catch me. I was gone. And so they... And I know I went to a birthday party last Sunday. I want to give a shout out. It was my best friend's mother, Kevin. I talk about him a lot. His mother turned 70. And I know she told me she watches our live stream. So happy birthday, Diane, four. I love you. And Kevin, you probably know this story. We were walking to high school. Someone came to steal our shoes because that was a big deal growing up, you know. And they took his shoes, but he walked about 10 feet away and said, these ain't Adidas. Threw them back at him. I thought they were Adidas. I was like, Kevin, I thought they were Adidas. They were tracks. Point is this, a lie is what makes a lie so dangerous, like this cord, is it could be in plain sight. It could be, it's got a little truth in it. That's the most deceiving kind of lies. But lying can become a habit. You become a habitual liar. And people don't even want to be around you. I asked my wife, I said, honey, I know stealing's bad, right? I have our house, I keep telling these horror stories growing up in Ecorse, but it was rough. I love Ecorse, by the way. We got family and friends that watch us from Ecorse. And there's a lot of great people in that city. And I pray for revival in that city. There's a lot of good people in our inner city neighborhoods, okay? And every time I go to Life Challenge, I pray as I go up 7 Mile there and I pray. But there was a lot of bad things that happened growing up in Ecorse, and our house did get broken in all the time. And I told my wife, I said, well, what's worse, having a someone steal from you or lie? She says, I can't stand a liar. They're both bad, but isn't a liar it's something that we're not called to do. And here's why. Actually, my point in saying all that, it's the only sin in the Bible. Listen to this. The only sin in the Bible that God says he hates. And if you're like me, you come from a broken past. Lying was your language. I could speak English. I could pray. I can speak Chinese double talk. Hagum, segum, negum, negum. Which some of you said you can too. And lying was another language. God took out my liar and put in a blesser. And that's what he'll do for you and for I. Amen. But I want you to see this scripture. This is where I get this from. Jesus said, he's talking to the religious leaders. He says, you belong to your father, the devil. So that's so much for we're all children of God. Whoa, did you see what? Jesus, he's real. He's real, guys. He's tough. He looked at these religious leaders and he says, you're of your father, the devil. Why? You want to carry out your father's desires? He was a murderer from the beginning, not holding to the truth, not holding the truth. That means he once was in the truth. He once had the truth, but he let the truth go and he became what Jesus called the father of lies. Watch what he says. For there is no truth in him. And that's what happens when you quit holding on to the truth. When people walk away from church, it's not because they now believe in another God. I have found when people walk away from church, it's not that they quit believing in God. They start believing in everything else. Jesus said in the last days, because men and women will have itching ears, they will go and heap up for themselves teachers that will tell them good, happy things that have no truth in them. Pray for me. That will never happen here by God's grace. I try my best to bring series on the Ten Commandments. I know it's not popular, but I know if we will get this, it will transform our life. And that's what we're here for, right? Jesus said there's no truth in him, for when he lies, he speaks his native language. He is a liar and the father of lies. So Jesus says, I don't want you just to stop lying. Again, that's a rule, that's a law, and it's good. Teach your kids not to lie. If I got caught lying, mama caught me, she'd put soap in my mouth. I know that's like abuse, or I don't know what it is today, but or she'd mash me in my mouth. You do your own discipline. I'm just saying, don't, when your kid lies, don't go, oh, yay. There has to be some kind of lesson, some kind of consequences that we teach our kids. And lying should be up there. I know we kind of have different lies. And, you know, let the Holy Ghost lead you on that one. But Jesus, here's my point. He don't want us to just stop lying. He wants us to become people of truth. Yes. Yes, Jesus. So this is how Jesus taught on lying. He says in Matthew 5, but I say to you, do not swear at all. So they were asking Jesus about swearing like oaths. Okay, so first of all, if you think, where does it say in the Bible I shouldn't swear? Right here. Actually, he's talking about a different swear. That scripture is do not letting profane communication come out of your mouth. That's in Colossians. So anyway, so you know. But Jesus said, don't be swearing at all, neither by heaven or because it's God's throne, nor by earth. He goes on and on. But he says, let your yes be a yes and your no be a no. In other words, don't be saying, I swear to God, I am telling the truth. I swear to God. Larry, I swear to God on my kid's life. I swear to God on my, you know, people that do that. We swear on everything. Jesus says, what you doing? You should become the kind of people. Again, we're not talking about law. We're not talking about religion. Don't lie. Become a different person. Become a person of integrity. Watch this. So when you say yes, people say that man is a man of truth, honor, and integrity. His yes means yes. And when he says no, he don't got to say, I swear for God, I'm going to ride on my grandma's life. When we say no, we need to be people of no. Is this good, Misty? Is this making sense? I know it's simple, but it's not always easy. The things of God are simple. Get in the boat. Believe in Christ with all your heart. Simple. But it's not always easy. Just because something is simple is not easy. The Detroit Lions in Michigan been saying, just win the games. It's simple. But the Detroit Lions have not been doing it. Now they are, and everyone's, I'm a Detroit Lion fan. Amen. Welcome to the club. Amen. Things are simple. They're not always easy. Living for God is simple, but it's not always easy. That's why he gives us the precious power of the Holy Spirit, which you and I only get if we get in the boat and get all in. Be a person of integrity. And then 10th commandment. Look at that. Look at that. I made all three of them. Oh, ye of little faith. Some of you are like, he is not going to finish this series today. The 10th commandment. So you have, I like alliteration when I preach. So the points always have some kind of, usually, will have some kind of connection. So generosity is the nature of God. Lying is the language of the devil. And I could spend an hour on each one of those. But I think we get it. God's wanting us to be generous. He's wanting to be people of truth. So generosity is the nature of God. Lying is the language of the devil. And covetousness is the lack of gratitude in man. This is the heart of covetousness. It's the heart of covetousness. It's because we have lost our gratitude for the things God has given us. Here it is. We believe if we have that, well, it will bring happiness to us. It is quiet in this Pentecostal church. That's why God said it. So I want you to see this in the 10th commandment. I don't know if it's on the screen or not, but it says this. If it's not up there, just listen. This is the original commandment. God says when you because you're coming from slavery, didn't have nothing, and you're going to come into this promised land. And when you are all in, watch this. I'm going to bless you. How many know when you get all in, God blesses you? How many are some blessed people in this church? Let me say it over here. How many of y'all are some blessed people in this church? You're blessed coming in. You're blessed coming out. You've been through some stuff, but God's still bringing you out. He's still worthy to be praised. He's still going to bless you. I need all the blessed people. Give God about 5 seconds of praise up in this church. Come on. Let the redeemed of the Lord say so. If you've been blessed coming in, blessed going out, give him praise if you believe it. He's a good God. He's a good God. He's a good God. He's a good God. But as good as he is, let's watch this. He's a personal God. Meaning there are going to be certain people that are going to get blessed in certain seasons of their life that are different from other people in other seasons of life. And because you don't have what they have, even though you serve the same God, you're going to start coveting and saying, how come I don't? Look at the commandment. He says, do not covet your neighbor's house, their wife, their ox or their donkey. That's their Ford or Buick. Or they're riding lawnmower that you're watching your neighbor do, and you're out there with a push mower that won't start. You're about to lose your salvation every time you pull that thing. Is that just me? Amen. Don't be jealous over what other people have. And then he goes on. So this does tell me that some people are going to have other things in life different than me. Because if he gave everybody a house that's the same, everybody a husband and a wife that look the same and act the same, if everybody got the same thing, you wouldn't be coveting. But God is saying, listen, I'm going to bless you because all of you are on different levels in your life and in your faith. And faith, write this down, is the currency of heaven. Faith is the currency of heaven. If you have not, it's because you believe not. Without faith, it's impossible to believe. But those who believe God must come to God and know that he is, and know that he is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. So you got to have faith in order to get anything from God. And that's our problem. We don't believe. I got to have this. I got to have the sky open before I believe. And it's like, really? I used to say this was mine. God, he was dealing with me to come to serve Jesus, and I'm still running out there like a knucklehead. And my excuse was, first of all, I went through, there's hypocrites in church, because I was raised in church, and I saw them. And God said, well, go join them. Anyway, I used to run that on God, but I couldn't fully run it because my mom and dad lived such lives of integrity. But let's not talk about them. I'm still having a pity party. So I would say, God, there's hypocrites in church. My other one was, God, if you're real, then you would open up the sky and just tell everybody you're real and we'll all believe in him. That was when I get to the judgment seat, I'm going to tell God that with my 15-year-old self. And one time I got in a conversation with somebody who loved me and took time, and I ran that by him. If God was real, why didn't he open up heaven? And you know what? That's just how I was thinking. I was 15. And the guy looked at me and said, man, God did that. He actually did something better than that. He opened up heaven and he came down here himself. Everything we know revolves around this person, Jesus Christ. I told a guy at the gym the other day, I don't really believe in God. I said, what year is it? He said, 2024. I said, 2024 what? Everything we know in life, history was turned on its axis because of one man, Jesus Christ. And he's my Lord and Savior. Come on, somebody. Okay. Covetousness is a lack of gratitude. So here's the scripture. Hebrews 13 says, let your conduct be without covetousness, but be content. Here we go. Here we go. Be content with such things as you have. For he himself has said, I will never leave you nor forsake you. For we may boldly say, the Lord is my helper. I will not fear. What can man do to me? Come on, somebody need to shout for that one. Come on. Isn't this something how he has to tell them that? Because when they came out, they came out of slavery. And now they had to live by faith. In other words, they had to trust and rely on God. And that was uncomfortable, so much so they would rather go back to Egypt and be slaves than depend on God to feed them from heaven and direct their life. Think about that. But we do the same thing. We get saved. We get baptized. We start coming to church. And when we experience the goodness of God, then the enemy starts to get our attention off what we do have and starts looking at what we don't have. And that covetousness comes in. How do you break it? How do you break it? Gratitude is the guardrail to covetousness. You have to train yourself to be thankful. And we're going to learn that next week for Thanksgiving. You and I, it's not natural. You don't got to teach your kid to not steal. You're going to have to teach him to steal. Or say that backwards. Whoa. You're not going to have to teach your kid to steal. You'll have to teach him not to steal. It's been a long weekend. Well, here's the point. Because in our kids, it's naturally wanting to steal. But I'm saying it's also naturally wanting to lie. It's also naturally wanting to have what other people have and they're not going to be thankful. You and I have got to train our kids to be thankful. That's my point. You got to train them to be thankful. Make them say yes. Make them say thank you. It's not being mean and harsh. Come on. You got to train them to do that. Contentment is a guardrail of covetousness, and gratitude feeds contentment. Okay, worship team, why don't you come as we close out today. Look at that. Isn't God good? Isn't good God good? Come on, give God some praise if you believe he's good. Now, don't look at your watch. Don't think of nothing. If you got to go, go right now. We're going to go right into time for you to respond. This is a time for God to, we're going to bring this series. I've been preaching 10 weeks on this series of guardrails. And it's not about law, but it's about becoming these people, putting God on the throne, overcoming lust, and all these things. And it's not gonna be a switch that God does. It's a process of getting into that boat, full surrender. I broke every one of these commandments in my life. And 27 years ago, I gave my life to Jesus Christ. You guys know my story. Coming from the streets, in and out of the legal system, addicted to drugs and alcohol. I just had such a grip on my life. I did not think you could have a good time without a substance. I didn't. You were either lying or you didn't party with me. That's how I looked at it when you told me that you had to have it. But then I surrendered my life to Jesus Christ. I said, okay, God, I'm going to get all in. I've always been an all-in type person. I was all in with, no one had to beg me to get high. No one had to beg me to go to the party. We didn't have Uber. I would just call a cab, get there, and then run out the back seat and take off running, even if I didn't have no money. True story, confession time. That's just where I was. It may not be your story. That was my story. But I got tired of living that life. I got tired of that emptiness inside of me, that never being satisfied, the thrills and then the lows, the high highs but the low lows. I couldn't beat addiction. And I knew the whole time what I needed to do. That's our problem. We know. Some of y'all know what you need to do. You know what you need to do. And I wish I could come alongside of you and people in your family, and I know you feel the same way, and just click the switch and make them lovers of Jesus. My mom and dad tried that with me. Everybody tried that with me. But God said, I'm gonna give you a free will. Best gift God has ever done, but it's a two-edged sword. You either choose to put your faith in me or choose not to. There's no winners or losers in life. There's only choosers. What are you going to choose to do with this Jesus Christ? What are you going to choose to do? Christians, you've been serving God and living for God, and this series has been maybe a reminder that you've let some guardrails down. It's time to put those guardrails back up. Watch this. And follow Jesus with all your heart and continue to become like Christ. Listen, he loves us all the way until we become people of love. That's how the Christianity thing works. I got baptized, my wife and I. Day by day, I begin to let God change my life. I quit telling lies. I started telling the truth. I started telling people what God done for me. Some of you got baptized, you need to go tell people what Jesus has done in your life. Everybody has their own truth. Well, you got the truth.
That's right. Come on.
You got the truth.
That's right. Come on.
And you need to let people know the truth.
That's right.
Tell people what God has done in your life. You got a story. Tell people what Jesus has done in your life. Why? Because as you do that, something happens. Even psychologists would tell you that when you tell your story, something in your brain shifts and changes. God made us that way. When we share what God is doing in our life, let's not lie, let's be honest. I'm struggling today. I had a rough day, I had a rough weekend. Not me, but if that maybe you. You were at the right place. Some of you fought all the way here, sitting next to your spouse. Look this way. On and on and on, there's examples that's going on in your life. It's time to get real. It's time to get all in and say, God, I'm going to fully surrender my life to you today in Jesus' name. Come on, will you stand with me in this place today? Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. I hope today is a day that you heard through this message, and these messages been building on each other, but today we bring it to a close, that God has brought all of us out of Egypt, crossed through the Red Sea. He wants us to put these guardrails in our life so we can continue to live for him and be transformed into his image. I don't know where you are in that journey, but before we have everybody come up and pray for whatever needs you got, but if you're here today and you need to make that first step and surrender to Jesus and be all in, I would love to see who you are and pray with you today. But in order to do that, it may be a little scary, but I want you to lift your hand and say, I don't care, I'm gonna do it right now in front of everybody. Pray for me today, I wanna be all in. Is anybody here today that needs to be all in, that haven't been all in? Amen, I see the hand, I see the hand, I see the hand, I see the hand. Amen, God bless you, yeah, God bless you. Come on, I wanna be all in. I haven't really been all in, but I wanna be all in right now today. Come on, if you're watching on live stream, put it in, I'm all in, put your name in there. We got people that wanna pray with you today. Others of you, how many would say, I'm not going to lie, I'm going through a hard time right now. I need some prayer. Amen. Look at those hands. Lift those hands up. Amen. Amen. All right, we're going to pray for you. Altar team, I want you to come down here to the front. Get in position. These are our altar workers. They have a badge around their neck. That mean that they've been approved. They are spirit-filled. I know who they are. They're not going to do something crazy, but pray for you and love for you. But if you lifted your hand for anything this morning, I want to invite you to take one more step. Come out of your seat. Come on up here, and we can line up. It's a little wet over there. If we got to be here, wherever. But I want you to come up and get prayer. Come on, you're going through something today. You need prayer. Come get some prayer by your church family. Well, amen and amen. I pray that message was a blessing to you, that you received some sort of encouragement or word of instruction from the Lord. That's our prayer at River of Life, that every time you tune in, that God speaks directly to your heart. Well, this is Pastor Eddie again. Just want to say thank you for listening to our podcast and remind you that every Tuesday, a new message is uploaded. Also, if you want to watch one of our services, head over to our YouTube channel. It's River of Life Church, a church of his presence, his promises, and all people, and you can watch one of our services that way as well. So God bless you. I pray God's presence be with you for the rest of the week. Amen.